Welcome to another podcast from the Ministry of Grace Covenant Church in Austin, Texas, where our purpose is to equip you to love with wisdom, passion, and humility.
Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. It is great to be together. We've been planning for a number of weeks now, just having one service today, and we thought about what the audience would be like in the day after Christmas, and the people that are abstaining from those great sales that have already happened. You're not going to buy what you want. You've missed it, unless you've already been to the stores this morning, of course. Those competitive types. But, you know, we stopped and we thought, you know what, let's think about what we could do on this particular Sunday. We could all gather together. This is so fun for us to be able to do. It's an unusual time for us to have the facility to be able to gather as many people as we can. So what do we need to say? And so the staff and leadership, we talked about, why don't we make this particular Sunday, in many respects, just kind of a leadership meeting. Most of you are regular attenders of Grace Covenant Church, and we wanted to tell you about what we have planned in the years to come, but particularly in the next few months. And especially, I wanted you to be praying for us. I want the bulletin here, if you'll see, it's just kind of a cardstock thing to be able to put on your refrigerator, the things that are happening in the next month or so. But on the side here with the notes, what I'd like for you to do is take very good notes of just the outline of what we're going to be talking about today. Because this is what I want you to put, you know, in your car somewhere or maybe on the refrigerator, and I want you to be praying for us. I want you to do, you know, kind of a favor for Grace. And I'm sorry, I thought the first slide was pray for Grace. So I want you to pray for Grace, just like it says there. And this is not like a favor where I would say, hey, could you take care of my cat while I'm gone for a few days? This is more because I don't want you to care for my cat. I don't want anyone to care for my cat. But it's more like a favor of, could you care for my kids if I were to be taken? It's that kind of favor. I sincerely believe that we, the people of Grace, need to pray for our church. Okay? We need to pray for our church. And I want us to pray for great, big, huge things this year. Tell you a little bit about the past, but mostly about the next year. And when I was studying for this week, I came across a favorite song of mine by Andrew Peterson. We're going to have Andrew Peterson here in about a year from today. And he talks about this song of a distant relative as he's going off and he's living the adventure that God has for him. And all that God had in store for him. And he uses the metaphor of water being the grace of God. And I love how artistic Andrew Peterson is in this song. And the refrain is what I'll be referring to a number of times today, because it is what I desire for our church. It is what I desire for you individually, but us collectively. The song starts off like this. Daniel, he's talking about Daniel is this person that goes off with a new bride to do God's will. Daniel hollered goodbye to the old river barge with his dreams in his head and his bride in his arms. Everyone said, I think you're crazy. But everyone wanted to go. That's the life I want us all to be living. That other people would look at us and say, I think you guys are crazy. Can I come? And then the refrain, the chorus that keeps going back and back again, using the water as the metaphor of God's mercy, he says, all the way home, they followed the tracks of the saints that were trod before him by the grace of God. And they walked in the rain of his mercy, and they were soaked down to the bone, and they splashed in the puddles, and they danced in the streams as they'd go, and they'd walked in his rain, in the rain of his mercy. You see how they're walking and they're soaking their bones with his mercy. And they splashed in the puddles and they danced in the stream of God's mercy and grace. That's what I desire for you. That is what I desire for us. And so in your bulletin, that's what I want us to do. I want us to just go through an outline of how to pray for grace. And there's a couple templates of prayer in the Bible, and there's no better template that could be found than the one in the Old Testament in 1 Chronicles, rather, chapter 4. If you'll turn there, if you have your Bibles, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And you've probably not spent much time in 1 Chronicles in the first 9 chapters, I hope, because it reads like a phone book. Because it almost, it's a genealogy. It's a tribute from the beginning of time until the times of David. so that people would know what family they came from. And so there are 886 names in these first few chapters of the book of Chronicles. And in that string of 886 names, there is a pause and a stop so that one person could have two sentences written about him. One person could have two sentences written about him. And when you're reading a phone book, if you can imagine that, and for some reason, Yellow Pages stops and says, oh, well, I want to write two sentences about this person, then you'd want to stop and take interest. And that's what happens. And this particular person, where this genealogy stops and then continues after, his name is Jabez. And I want to show you that he's a simple man. And he doesn't say much, but apparently he took the mind of the writer of these scriptures to say, you know what, he did something well. He did one thing well. I mean, apparently he started off with, it's kind of a classic story where it starts off in tragedy and pain and suffering. This one person says a single sentence prayer, and it is the desire of the innermost part of his heart. And then it ends very well. Extraordinary ending. And so I'd like to use this as a template for us as we pray for grace. I'm asking you to pray for grace. And here's the prayer. Here's what the prayer looks like. I'll start in verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. And now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it would not pain me. And God granted what he requested. And God granted what he requested. The first part of the prayer, actually before the prayer itself, the introduction of prayer of Jabez is a classic expression of the reality of life. And that is, there is pain and there is joy. There is suffering and there is blessing. They are two sides of the same coin in a world that's wrecked and damned. And that's how this starts off, with Jabez's mother calling him that name Jabez. It means pain. I will name this child pain. When Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the famous English preacher, spoke on this particular prayer, he spent his time talking about pain and suffering, because Spurgeon knew of suffering. He said sorrow was the greatest volume in a preacher's library. Spurgeon suffered from gout and kidney inflation and all sorts of other psychological problems. He suffered with depression for months and sometimes years. He was bedridden in pain and suffering for a lot of his life. And so he speaks from a reliable source, from his own experience, about what it means to suffer and have sorrow. And he says this about this first introduction. He says, to the great extent we find that we must sow in tears before we can reap in joy. We must sow in tears before we can reap in joy. And that's what this story's about. Jabez's mother says, I'm going to name you pain. But it also says that Jabez was more honorable than any of his brothers. There's another great quote that says, the path of sorrow, and that path alone, leads to a place where sorrow is unknown. The path of sorrow, and that path alone, is the path that leads you to a place where there's sorrow is unknown. Because once the fog of the sorrow is lifted, it is as though the sun is brighter and your vision is clearer and you can see things the way they were meant to be seen. But you can't get there unless you go through the fog of this sorrow. And Jabez's mother herself must have experienced this exchange, this flipping of this coin between pain and suffering and sorrow and joy and blessedness. So this man named Pain prays this prayer. Look at verse 10. Here's this one sentence prayer. Now, the first thing is blessed and blessed indeed, enlarging his borders. Now, Jabez called on God, on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my borders. Bless me. Let's start with that. Bless me means to impart a supernatural favor upon someone. I would say in a phrase, it would be that we would feel the presence of God, that the presence of God would be obvious to us. It's when we leave all of our needs behind and we would rather know that we are right with God than have all of our bills paid and our lives content, that our souls would not rest until they feel blessed by God. But then it says, bless me indeed. Now he's getting greedy, isn't he? He's like, I don't want to be blessed. I want to be blessed indeed. I will not settle for simple blessedness. And what he's asking for is something that transcends the normal. When you're blessed and blessed indeed, you experience miracles. I want you, as a favor to this church, like a favor to, would you raise my children? Would you pray that God would bring us miracles? Inexplicable experiences in people's lives, sometimes physically, but mostly emotionally and spiritually. Because we know that we're being blessed and blessed indeed. Because we want to walk in his reign in the mercy, right? We want to soak his mercy to our bones. We want to splash in the puddles. We want to dance in the stream, right? We want to enjoy blessedness and blessedness indeed, he says. We will not settle for anything but the inexplicable, the supernatural, the miracles in people's lives. We want to see God work and work indeed. It says expand his borders. He wants to expand his influence where, you know, he's referring back to the days of conquest and they would want more real estate from the bad guys. It wasn't from their neighbors. It was from people that hated God. And it means going past places that we're used to. It means enjoying God's blessedness and blessedness indeed. Here's how I want this expressed. Here's the things I want you to write down when it comes to being blessed indeed and expanding borders when it is applied to Grace Covenant Church. When you pray for her, would you pray this? That people would be, we would see people transformed by God's grace. Transformed by grace. And what that means is simply this. This is where we put our hope in life change around here, that God would intervene in people's lives. And what we're trying to do when we say expand the borders, we'd like to see the church at least like this full for 2 hours. For 2 hours. More and more people are coming to this church, getting transformed by God's grace and connecting with one another and serving in their own community and also the Grace community like never before. Like never before in the history of this church have people come into this auditorium and cannot find John 3:16 if they got paid to do it. This is a great time for us. I believe that we are doing God's dream for this church at this time in this part of our life. And we get to, you and I, we get to be here now to watch it happen. And I'm saying let's just get greedy about it. Let's ask God to bless us that way and bless us indeed. That more and more people would continue to show up here because they see the building or they hear the stories of this place and they want to know what to do about their lives. The sheer numbers of stories of people coming in here who had lives and marriages that were just kind of stuck at status quo, and their lives are being rearranged in a magical way just by hearing the Bible taught to them for the first time in their lives. Many of them from kind of church backgrounds when they were children that didn't teach the Bible, a lot of them that don't even know what Christianity is. That's what I want us to pray for. Transformed by God's grace, expanding the borders, more people that don't know Christ to come in our doors and to be saved by his saving grace. And the other thing that they experience here week after week is people come here and they go, what is happening during the worship time? You know that. You know, you've been here on those days where you just think, what? This is not from this place. I know the limits of physics and emotions, and we are transcending that in a great way. And so we're talking about the power of the Word of God and the influence of worship in the lives of people coming here. Another thing that I want you to be praying for as a favor to the church is service at Grace. When people come to Grace and they're just visiting, they're bringing 4 children with them. I don't know what's happening, but people keep bringing little ones. And when I talk about service in the future, in 2011, I'm going to talk a lot about serving in our children's ministry. We desperately need help in the children's ministry. If you're in a home group, if you're in a small group of some kind, I want you to pray the first time you guys get together about whatever you're doing for, you know, at church on Sunday, I want you to come to the big church worship service, and I want your whole small group to work in the children's ministry. If you've been going to one of our adult communities for more than 2 years in that same adult community, I want you to very seriously consider leaving that adult community and working in our children's ministry. It's especially going to be necessary next August. And it's hard to talk about August in June and July because most people are on vacation. And so I'm talking now about this. This is a serious need. If you want to serve at Grace, we need you to serve in our children's ministry, okay? And I want you to be praying about people serving, not just the one down there, you. You too. And then finally, connecting at Grace. We'll have a renewed emphasis, especially in the first part of 2011, about connecting with one another. Because as people come in here, they've got to figure out some way to find friends here, or they won't have what's necessary to truly help a person change their lives. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, worship in their lives, but they need people to go through life with. And so we're going to be doing whatever we can so that a greater percentage of the people that attend here regularly are meeting sometime with other people that can speak into their life. Common sense relationship skills are not common anymore. People just don't know how to have conflict, and so whenever anyone confronts them about something, and it's a good thing to do that, they just find new friends. And they're not really friends. They're just acquaintances. And so we're gonna really spend some time on just fundamentals of what it means to be friends, deep friends. And whatever your friendship level is, we want you to go one step deeper with that. And so I'm asking that you would seriously consider praying for Grace Covenant Church to help us connect with one another more intimately in some way. Okay? Here's what I want us to do right now. I want you to listen to my prayer. I'm going to pray for this. I'm going to pray indeed. And if you agree with the prayer, I want you to say amen. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, oh, that you would bless us and bless us indeed. Yes, Lord, I mean indeed. God, I'd ask that you would continue to send people to us. Our hope is in your work in people's lives, that you would make them hungry for something more, that you'd break their radios in their cars or keep them from being distracted all the time, and that you would speak loud and clear to them, and they would find themselves in our auditorium. And we, the people of Grace, would be here with open arms to help serve their children, to help lead them in a small group of some kind, so that we could speak the truth in love into people's lives and watch you work. Lord, we want more. We want more of your presence in this place. We will not settle for a blessing. We want a blessing indeed. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Here's the next part of the prayer. Very interesting. And now Jabez, it's talking about his hand on us. And now Jabez called on the God of Israel and saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my borders, that your hand might be with me, that your hand might be upon me. Here's the verse. And it's an interesting phrase, that your hand might be upon me. And what that means simply is this. There's a passage, a very descriptive passage in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua. And what happens is when a new generation of Israelites are raised, their parents went through the Red Sea. That's a fairly famous story. But when their children were about to enter the Promised Land, they were scared to death, and they didn't know if God's Spirit was with them. And so God communicated to Joshua that he would have the priest carry the ark in front of them. And the moment the ark touched the Jordan River, where they had to cross the Jordan River at flood stage in the spring, that God would show up in a very big way. His Spirit would show itself to be strong. And when that happened, sure enough, the ark, the priest carrying the ark touched the Jordan River at flood stage, and it dammed up on one side, and another generation gets to walk through water cut in half by God's Spirit. And then Joshua says this in chapter 4. He says, listen, I want one of the strongest members of each tribe to go back in the middle of the Jordan River and get the biggest boulder you can carry on your shoulders. And we're taking it to the west side of the Jordan River. And we're going to make a pile of 12 rocks, one for each tribe. And it'll be a mount. And when anybody goes by that trophy, I want you to tell them this. That the God Almighty, the Lord above, led us across this river in the spring. And that God's hand was upon us. God's hand was upon us. In the Newer Testament, it talks about God's hand upon us when it talks about the church. And things were happening in the church. Many people were coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because the Lord's hand was upon them. In a single phrase, I would say it means being filled with the Holy Spirit. It means being filled with the Holy Spirit. And when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, they do things that only God can do. Our hope at this church, this is the church growth model in the leadership at the elder board level. Okay, this is where we bank everything. That we would be holy and surrendered. That's it. It is very easy for church leadership to get drunk on some sort of management style of making a larger group of people meet on a weekly basis. But that's not where we put our hope. We put our hope that God would help us because we would choose to do really difficult things in our own lives to be holy, and we would choose to be surrendered. And that's what I'm asking you to do as well. Holy and surrendered, so that the Spirit of God can do things, His hand would be upon us. His hand would be upon us. And so, like when Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he's talking about his model of ministry. He says this, not that we're sufficient in ourselves, thinking anything of being in ourselves, but we're sufficient, our sufficiency comes in God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. We find that we are sufficient because we have sufficiency only in Christ. And we want everyone here to be filled with the Spirit because they've released their wills to God and they expect things to happen that can't be explained unless you're drunk on the supernatural power of that Spirit. We want God's mercy to be drenching your bones to the marrow. We want you dancing in the puddles. We want you playing in the stream. That's the kind of life. And here's what it looks like. And we've seen this a lot in 2010. The first thing this looks like when God's hand upon us is the first thing is that old people act young. Old Christians acting young. And in 2010, I can't tell you how many times I heard from people that have been walking with God 20, 30 years where things radically changed in their lives because some kind of blockade was finally broken. And if you've been following Christ for the last 24 months and you haven't had a fist-banging, gut-wrenching hatred for who you are, then there's something broken inside of you. Let me say that again. That within the last 2 years, if you're walking with God, no matter how long you've been doing that, you must have had an occurrence where you had an anger towards your condition and you were crying out to God because you are sick of the injury that you caused your Savior and the saints. And if you haven't had an experience like that in the last 2 years, then you have probably, I don't know, I mean, settled for civility. Civility, there you are. And contentment is your opium. And let me tell you, Jesus Christ did not come and die and raise again to give you the Holy Spirit to live in your soul so you can be civilized and content. Jesus says he's the vine dresser and we're vines and he prunes us. And pruning hurts. And if I don't know much about plant life, but I know this, for every season, there's a big pruning. And if you've gone through a season of life and you haven't been pruned, there's something very broken in you. And so when I talk about, when we talk about in the future, when we talk about next year, when we talk about God blessing us indeed, his hand upon us, that means God's Spirit flowing through us. If you are being filled with the Holy Spirit, you are an old Christian acting young. It looks like this. It looks like repentance. And it looks like real life change. People are not supposed to know what happened to you if they haven't seen you in 2 years. They're supposed to be wondering what happened. And you say, well, we started praying this prayer at Grace that we'd be blessed indeed, and God's hand would be on us. And now I skip to work. I don't march. The other thing, the next kind of fun thing we talk about is this thing called Sadiq. We're going to do a 10-week series. Norman Furley and I, from February through April, all the way to Easter, are going to do a 10-week series on the greatness and the holiness of God, the wretchedness of man in contrast to that, the rescue of from Jesus Christ, and the joy-filled living that responds to that. It will be potentially a game changer for this entire church. This will change our church, or nothing will happen. The words will be dead. They won't get past this pulpit. Nothing of significance will happen if you, I'm putting this on you, if you don't pray for this. Norman's been going through some of the adult communities teaching on this logo of the student ministry. And it's been very well received. But I can tell you, I've taught this on a number of occasions as well. It's magic or it's a dud. And the difference is whether or not we pray. Because the holiness and the grandeur and the greatness of God is blocked by people's stubbornness. And if the only thing we can do, you and I can do to just break that dam is to pray ahead of time. So I want you to be praying for the Sadiq series. Because either people will yawn through this thing or they will be tempted to tattoo that logo onto their bodies. It has been done. I want you to pray for the Sadiq series. Next, missions. This is very quick. This is kind of a fun thing. Our missions pastor, Tom Sanchez, he's actually the International Investment Portfolio Manager for Eternal Rewards. Okay. Right now, we are looking into investing into a new generation of the Gutenberg Bible. Would you like to get a piece of the IPO of the Gutenberg Press a few hundred years ago? It turned out to be a pretty good investment. It changed eternity for many people's souls. Well, it's not the printed word anymore. It's the recorded word. And what we're going to try to do is figure out a way to get a Bible spoken in the native tongue of every place of influence that Grace has right now. In other words, we have people all over the world, as you know, but now we're going to give them a means of giving children even a way to hear the Gospels in their native tongues. That's all I'm going to tell you. Let's pray about that. And then finally, a thing that's happened over the last 2 or 3 years, it's called In the City. And I think it's gotten so bad in our country that it's actually starting to get good. And what's happened is, across the country, what we've seen is there's many cities, the churches have abandoned their own agendas and their own ambitions for the city and submitted those to a greater vision of a collective gathering of churches. And so churches working together to influence the city. An example of that is up in Dallas, over 100 churches of different denominations started realizing that they would never be able to do much really of significance to reach the city, and they started working together, which meant they had to humble themselves before a greater cause. And they started a movement that's called I Am Second. You might know about that. It's influencing, you know, a million people and more. No church can influence a city. No denomination can have that kind of impact. It is not the way God works. His method is clear. It's in the Bible. He talks about the gifts of the body and the church itself, the local church. It's expanded to a city church where people have to humble themselves in their own agendas and their own ambitions and say, you know what, we're going to have to work together. And that's happening around the country, and it's happening here in Austin as well. And so Grace will play her unique place in her giftedness to work together with maybe 100 other churches in town to have an influence that makes a mark that lasts a while. You'll hear about more of that about that more, but and we'll be praying about that. I want you to pray about it. Let's all pray. Listen to my prayer. If you agree with it, say amen. But let's pray that God's hand would be upon us, okay? Dear Lord, I would ask that you would fill us with your Spirit. Like it says in the Bible, that we would be drunk on that Spirit. We would do things we wouldn't do otherwise. We'd have inexplicable thoughts and actions because we have a buzz from you. Like you made Peter, you turned him from a coward to a courageous and bold, outspoken person. I'd ask that you do that too. And Paul, an angry and driven individual, you turned into a caring and tender person. Let us hear those stories about old Christians becoming like new believers. That tzaddik, that positional righteousness, that righteousness that we only get from Jesus Christ, could in fact change this church, would be the battle cry of why we pray to you. That you give us insight in missions, on how to bring the word of God that can transform lives into every corner of the planet that we have been sent, and that we would play our part in the city. All God's people said. Another couple. Next, in the little prayer here, look what it says. It says, deliver us from evil. That's the next section. The passage in chapter 10 reads like this. And now Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my borders, that your hand might be with me. And look what it says. And keep that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. Keep me from harm that it may not pain me. I'll just be real. This is an easy prayer to pray, isn't it? God, keep me from suffering. In the Lord's template of prayer, the Lord, we call it the Lord's Prayer. It's really our prayer the Lord gave us as an outline. Almost a quarter of it is, and deliver us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. And this prayer is very similar. This part of the prayer is the same thing. It's like, look, God, deliver us from evil coming our way. We have no idea what's outside these walls that wants to destroy this church. And God, all we can do is pray about it. And so I would like us to all be aware that we pray this prayer, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. The evil of pride inside the church and evil literally coming in and destroying us. Not human freedom, that's just part of it. That's delivers from temptation. But evil, the devil himself trying to crush us. That's easy to pray. Let's pray. God, I would ask that you would suspend us from evil. That in your mercy, you know what we cannot handle, and you would prevent that from opening, getting through our doors. And as Spurgeon said about sorrow, if that were to happen, I pray his prayer, that sorrow, though sorrow go over and over my soul, The deep plow cut into my very heart, though you be maimed and wounded and left for dead, yet the Spirit of God was living alive and well in me, I would be blessed and blessed indeed. And so, God, we'd ask that you deliver us from evil. And if you allow an evil in here, that we would be transformed even by that. And those who agreed with that prayed, amen. The last part of the prayer says, God, it's an epithet, it just says, and God granted his request. And I ask that God would grant our request. I don't want this to be a one and done, friends. Would you please do this as a favor for this church? Not a favor like you're going to take care of the cat, but that you have the ability to sustain the life and well-being of the body of Jesus Christ as it meets here. You have that kind of influence on your knees, in your car. Just turn the radio off, pull this out, and say, I'm going to do my part for my church. I mean, listen, I'm serious. I would get on my knees if you could see me, but you can't. I want you to pray. I want you to pray for our church. I think 2011 is going to change a lot. We have gone through the fog, and we can see things clearly now. Pray for this place. I know you love her. Show that you love her by praying for her, OK? okay? Let's pray one last time. Oh, that you would bless Grace and bless her indeed. That you would enlarge her borders. That your hand would be upon her. And that you would keep her from harm, that it might hurt her. So God, I would pray that you would give us this prayer, and that we would pray this prayer for her, and that you would, as it says, and that you would grant us our requests. God, we are pleading with you to not settle with a blessing here, but a blessing indeed. Let us fulfill the dreams that you have for this little church. Let us play our part. Let us make you proud. Let us feel what it's like to splash in puddles and dance in streams. Let your mercy reign. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a podcast of the Ministry of Grace Covenant Church in Austin, Texas. If you'd like more information about our church and ministries, please visit us on the web at grace360.org.